is to shake their hands and make them feel welcome, and then shake your neighbor's hands and say good morning. Amen. God is good. Thank you. Brother Art. Brother Arthur, would you read for me this morning? Look, these are my notes. I'm going to just use these passages. I'm going to go right in order. I'm not going to finish it all. I'm going to start here, and we'll just go right down the line, okay? All righty, that feels better. We have, this past week, we've designated as our youth week. Our young people, Brother Roger Mel Davis, our youth minister, our brother, Clayton Alexander, spoke on last Sunday morning and night. Our youth had a lock-in this past Friday, Saturday, and they stayed up all night, and they tell me they ate all night. Ate and played and fellowship with the Highland Heights Church of Christ youth, and Brother Raj has other things planned for our youth coming up. We know many of you are on spring break, and some are getting off spring break, some are going on spring break. Many of our college students, good to see you. Thank you so much for coming back in one piece. So I want to emphasize this lesson will be geared toward our young people. It was for all of us for sure, but we want to place a special emphasis on our youth. And I've entitled the lesson simply "Be Careful." Be careful. I had a couple of titles. Subtitle: Four Common Mistakes of Young People. Four Common Mistakes. I've asked Brother Arthur Williams to read for me. And Brother Arthur, read the passage, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, 15.
Therefore, be careful how you walk.
Be careful how you... The word careful means to be cautious, to be watchful. Now, we're not to be anxious. We're not to be paranoid, because God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of a sound mind. But he does. This letter is written to individuals who are Christians. And I'm going to make two assumptions this morning, and this is to all of us. One is that we want to live a productive, an enjoyable, a successful, and we know everything won't be perfect, but we want to live a productive, enjoyable life. That's one of the assumptions I'm going to make, and I believe everybody in here wants to do that. And also that we want to make heaven our home. And I know there's another lesson for another day for those who still are trying to figure out even if there is a God. But I want to make that assumption. This is the assumption that Paul says to those who decided to design their life after the doctrine and teachings of Christ Jesus. And he tells even them, and he tells us today, to be careful, to be watchful, to open your eyes. Don't walk around with your head in the sand as you're living. And he says, be careful as we walk. It's a term mean as we live our daily lives, not just Sunday mornings. Although, you know, hopefully we don't have to be careful when we come to the house of the Lord. But sometimes we have to be careful even when we come here. But he says, be watchful, be careful. And you know, you hear the term, we used to hear it. I don't know if they still say it. Be careful crossing the street. Look both ways. Both ways, because there's danger on the left and there's danger on the right. Okay, continue to read, Brother Arthur.
Not as unwise men.
There is a way that we can live on this earth to make our lives more miserable. There are things that we can do every day that are, he said, not as unwise, but as wise. Read on.
But as wise, making the most of your
time. Making the most of your time. Oh, there's so many lessons in this text. Making the most of your time, read.
Because the days are
evil. Because the days, this is why. This is why we need to be careful. Because the days are evil. And there's evil all around us, everywhere we go. There's evil in your neighborhood. There's evil when you go to work. There's evil at school. There's evil even in the church. There's evil. And that's just a fact. You know, we don't want to live lives that we always looking over our shoulder, but every now and then we need to look over our shoulder. Both literally and spiritually. He says there's evil. Read on.
So then, do not be foolish.
And sometimes the Bible seems like it's repetition, seems like it's redundant. It's, wait a minute, you said don't be, but he says, and not be foolish. Because there are foolish decisions we can make. There are foolish things we can do. There are foolish things we can say that we can't take back, we can't get back, and they will cost us if we're not careful. Read on.
But understand what the will of the Lord is.
Understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, there are three ways that I know, according to the scripture, that we can be wiser. We can be wiser. And first of all, don't be wise in your own eyes. Mm-hmm. Especially to our young people. You just don't have enough experience. Not that you're not smart. Not that you don't know some things. You just haven't lived long enough to experience some things that a person that's older has experienced. Man. Go to read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Stay with me, if you will. Stay with me. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5.
A wise man.
Will hear.
And increase in learning.
See, one of the ways you can become wise is simply to listen. Notice, you can listen to the truth. You can also listen to something that's false and still become wiser. You just stop talking so much and listen, because you can soon enough tell whether or not a person is to speaking foolishness or they're speaking the truth. Read on, Brother Arthur.
And a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel.
So one of the ways we can become wiser is to listen. And to listen to somebody who is wiser than you. Notice, there are some individuals who have some wisdom and that can share it with you and make you wise. Simply by you listening to them and literally doing what they say. I know we don't follow anybody. And we don't want to do what everybody tells us to do. But listen, this is the test. The test is to watch their lives. See, you don't need to learn how not to get drunk from a drunk. Amen, somebody. But you can watch a person's life and see the fruit of their lives and tell whether or not they are worth listening to. That's one of the ways we can gain wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5. James 1:5.
But if any of you lacks wisdom.
Read.
Let him ask God.
Who
gives to all generously.
Read.
And without reproach.
Read.
And it will be given to them.
Another way we can gain wisdom, and in its context in James 1, is talking about when we're going through some shown of trials in life. When you're going through trials and you can't find the answers, you need to get on your knees and ask the Lord. Amen, somebody. And if you ask in faith, God will help us even through our tough times. Mm-hmm. So that's the second way we can gain wisdom. Read Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4. Proverbs 2, 4.
If you seek her. As silver.
And search for her.
As hidden treasures.
Another way we can gain wisdom is to simply dig deep. Do your homework. Do your searching. Stop being lazy and work for wisdom yourself. And that's studying, that's researching, that's comparing other things. If you look for it, wisdom can be found. Mm-hmm. Now, our text says to be careful how we live. The text says not as unwise, but as wise. But wisdom, there's a cost for wisdom. And we have to seek it. We have to learn how to listen. We have to ask God to help us in our lives. And when we're young, well, we need to be just sponges, trying to gain as much wisdom as we can. Because how many of us want a productive, a successful, an enjoyable life? How many of us want to go to heaven? I hope all of us want to go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. Let me give you four things. This morning at the first service, I was only able to get to two. So I'm gonna tell you what they are, and then I'll only be able to get to two of them this morning. The first one is the first common mistake of youth. And I want to be practical. Brother Raj did an excellent job last week on telling us why a young person should give their heart to God. But one of the mistakes that a lot of young people and older people make is we think we have all the time in the world. Or we just don't have a concept of time when we're young. It's just not, and it's not, I'm not saying it's necessarily our faults, but I tell you what, if you want to be wise, you will learn it. And Apostle Paul, he says, in this particular text, he says, make the most of your time. And oh, to be young. Oh, to be young, because you say you have time on your side. Listen to what the Bible, I had about 12 scriptures that talk about time. I want to read a couple of them to you. Psalms chapter 144 and verse 4, Brother Williams. Psalms 144 and verse 4.
A man is like a mere breath.
Man is like a mere breath. Read.
His days like a passing shadow.
His days are like a passing shadow. And I know it's hard to grasp that when you're young, but old folks, aren't we like a passing shadow? See, I called my mother yesterday. I said, Mom, do you have a picture of me when I was a baby? And my mom was looking for a picture. She couldn't find a baby picture of me. And I wanted you to see a baby picture of me. And I said, and maybe another picture when I was kind of a little bit older. Some of you that's been around here a while, and at the first service, a lot of our seasoned saints here, and they know me from 30, 40 years, 20 years ago. And some of you remember when I used to have some hair on my head. My grandbabies, they think Big Daddy been bald headed all of his life. They just think this is how Big Daddy look. But it wasn't that long ago that some of you had some hair on your head. Amen. That you didn't buy. Amen, somebody. I'm sorry, so I had to put that in there. Yeah. But boy, I tell you what, time will get away from you. Listen to James. James chapter 4, verse 14. James 4, 14.
Yet you do not know.
You do not know what your life.
What your life will be like tomorrow.
Read.
You are just a vapor that appears for a little while.
The Bible says our life is like a vapor that appears for a little while.
And then vanishes away.
And it vanishes away. And I know perhaps you may not be able to get a grasp on that right now. But I'm telling you, young life. See, youth years are our training years for the rest of our life. You know the scripture, Proverbs 22:7, train up a child in the way that he should go. Your youth years are your training years. And I would hope that you understand, you grasp right now in your mind how valuable this time is for training. You training, what am I training for, Brother Gary? Everything.
Man.
You're training for life. You notice you're training for everyday life. Not just the times you will come to church. You're training for your home life. Yeah, there are couples who argue and fuss when they get mad because one or the other don't know how to clean up because they didn't learn how to clean up when they were younger.
Right.
Amen, mm-hmm. Somebody. And see, because some things, if you don't do them when you're young, they are hard. They are hard to ingrain. And I'm not talking, this is not about cleaning up, but it's about a lot of mundane things. Your parents and I know much of this falls on the parents, but young people, I want you to hear this because you have a mind yourself. See, there are some parents who, because of the way they were raised, because of the struggles they're going through, they're not going to do right. But God has you here. And if you're old enough, you have sense enough to know right from wrong, you know what some of the things you need to be doing while you're young. And so I hope you take advantage of this time when you're young. Stop rebelling training. Learn hygiene is something that has to be taught. Amen, somebody. Some of you fussing and fighting because you don't want to take a bath. Go in there and take a bath. Take a shower. Amen. You fighting everything. You get a little bit old and folks can't be around you because you only have hygiene. You wonder why people are treating you a certain way. Your teeth bad. You know, and many of these things you learn, you ingrain them so they become second nature. You know, in the morning, this morning, I made up the bed this morning. Where were you? You made up at Sister KB. Sister KB will make up the bed sometime, but it's so ingrained in me. My parents ingrained in me so strongly. You get out that bed, when your feet hit the floor, make that bed up, and it's still in me right today. Mm. You say, but that ain't nothing. It's something to a whole lot of folk.
Amen.
You go to college and you got a roommate who don't, just nasty. Hey, it didn't just start. Either somebody was doing, I'm not saying that's everything, but your young years, you training and accept good things that's going to bless your life. You have someone, you have a dad that you're around and he's fixing things. Learn, let him, you learn how to fix. The more you can do, the better your life is going to be.
Amen.
And those years are for training. They're for molding us, because before you know it, you will be old. You're going to wake up one day and say, "Ooh, I'm old." I made so many notes. Listen to this. You put yourself at a huge disadvantage in life if you wait until you graduating from high school to get serious about preparing for your future. Amen. You're in the ninth, the 10th, the 11th grade. Bless you. But your preparation, you're three, you're four, you're 5 years old. Learn your ABCs. Learn how to count to 20. Learn it in Spanish. Absorb everything you can while you're young to make your life easier. You're in the ninth grade and you want to try out for the basketball team. You say, "Well, I'm trying out for the basketball." You're in the ninth grade. If you wait until the ninth grade, you too late.
Man.
Unless you have some extraordinary ability. So what are you saying, Brother Gary? When you're young, learn, absorb, spend your time wisely, play, have a good time, but remember, you're going to get old one day. Also, you put yourself in great danger if you wait until you've grown to get serious about your relationship with God as a young person. Yeah, but I'm gonna get serious, Brother Gary, when I get your age. You have so many bad habits. The devil will have sown so many seeds of discourse in your life that you might not even see God when you get to my age. You're young. You're young. Let's parents teach our children godly songs. He's got the whole world in his hands. Teach them how to love God. I really love the Lord. Little kids, well, who made my grandkids? He's got the whole world in his hand. Where is God? He up there somewhere.
Yeah.
Young children can show more faith than grown folks can. Amen. Many of you, I've told you, I was baptized at the age of 9. I know some people frown, say, "Brother Gary, that's too young for many of our kids." It may be too young for some, but I was going to Bible class. I had godly parents. I was at church service. I knew the plan of salvation. I knew right from wrong. I knew I wanted to go to heaven. I knew I wanted a relationship with God. Right now, today, studies will show that more individuals that are young, when I say young, under the age of 20 to 20 and below, are choosing Christ. That's the age that young people are more acceptable to God than any other age. And often when we wait too long to try to get serious about our relationship with God, so much has infiltrated their lives. Doctrine, denomination, atheism, agnosticism. And they reject Christ because they got too much junk in their minds. Amen, somebody. And so we're young. Expose our kids to the Bible. Expose them to godly spiritual things while they are young. They're going to get enough of the world as they go along. Amen. Yeah, yeah. You ever wonder why some people seem to get so much done? We're talking about some people seem to get so much done. It's just time management. That's all it is, time management. Everybody has 24 hours in a day. Every person. Nobody has no more time than any of the others. But some individuals have learned how to manage their time to be more productive than others. What are you saying? See, if you think you got all the time in the world, we waste a lot of time. And though I believe children ought to be children and children ought to play, but they don't need to play all day and they don't need to sleep all day. Amen, somebody. Yeah. They don't need to play. The video games are so animated, and the digital stuff is so animated and so entertaining, but they don't need to stay on that stuff all day long. Give them something to do. Train them something to do. Teach them something. There'll not be a day go by that we don't do something to either get better, to get stronger, to get smarter, or to get wiser. Because we are going to need it in the world we're living in. The more you know, the more knowledge you have, the more you'll be prepared for the things that's going to happen to you later on in life. And let's value time the way God intended us to value time. And you, young people, you prepare for your future like your life depends on it, because it does depend on it. It does depend on it. Another major common mistake that young people make, one that I made, is taking the easy path in life. See, when we're young, that's not the time to not investigate. That's not the time to put forth our effort. Young, when you're young, is the time to test your limits, to test if you will be able to do something. Listen to Mark chapter 9 and verse number 23. Mark chapter 9, verse 23.
And Jesus said to him, if you can.
Now notice this. Now I don't have time to read the whole text, but Jesus is coming along after his disciples were not able to heal this man of this lunatic. He was having convulsions and doing everything. And Jesus came along and he says, if you can, because they asked Jesus, please, he can heal. If you can, heal this man. And Jesus said, he's kind of sarcastic, said, if you can. It's not if you can, but read on what else he said.
All things are possible to him who believes.
No, notice this. And see, young, especially young children, many times children exemplify more faith than we do as adults. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're young, you say, well, what do you want to be? I want to be an astronaut. I want to go to the moon. And they give all of these because they figure like, well, hey, what's hindering me from doing? When we get older, we say, no, baby, you can't be that. No, that's a little bit, come on down to earth. Mm. But the Bible says, Jesus says all things. Everybody say all.
All.
Now, what does that not include? What are you saying, Brigitte? When you're young, it's a time to test your limits. It's okay not to be able. If you're not, you're not a sprinter runner, Usain Bolt. You can't run the 100-yard dash like Usain Bolt, but run to see how fast you can run. Test your limits. See what you can do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're young, stop crawfishing and say I can't do this. One of the things I did when I was young, you know, I I used to say all the time, ooh, I hate mad. And I still don't like it very much. But I used to say that. But I think it was more because I was, you know, you give you a problem and you can't do it the first time. And when you can't do it the first time, you say, ooh, I can't, that's too hard. And I took that approach to mad. And even today, I think I can do it a lot better if I just said I could do it and get in there and try to do it. Amen? And sometimes we take that approach. It seems like it's a little hard, but you know, if it's something we really want to do, we hang in there with it. And what are you saying, Brother Gary? As a young person, see, if I asked everybody in here right now who could run a marathon 26.2 miles. Now, not very many people can run a marathon, amen? Especially if you're over, well, now I say over 40, you have a lot of 40, 50, 60, 70-year-old people still running marathons. But I tell you what, Brother Gary not running a marathon. Amen, somebody. Now, I don't want to, and right now my body won't let me run a marathon right now. But you know, if my life depended on it, if they told me, Brother Gary, we're going to kill you next year, 2 years from now, if you don't run a marathon, and they were serious about it, guess what? My mindset would change. Amen, somebody. I go to the, get me a bionic hip and some more knees and start training. But listen, but to our young people in here right now, if you're under the age of 20, I'll say 20, if you're under the age of 20 right now, do you think it's impossible for you to run a 26-mile a marathon? Many of you in your minds were never going to get on, even start that. But what's stopping you? What would hinder you at your age from running a marathon if you put your mind to it? Now, the majority of people get that, I don't want to do. But there are individuals in here right now who can do it if you put your mind to it, without a doubt. You see, so why? You're young. You have, God has given you the ability to do so much more than what we limit ourselves to. And you, what are you saying, Brother Gary? In your young life, you say you want to be productive. You want to be successful. You want to have an enjoyable life. You need to learn how to stop taking the easy path. It prepares for a smoother, a more enjoyable, successful life when you get older. You pay the cost. Now you have more years in the future to enjoy it in many aspects of life. So stop looking for the easy classes. Stop looking for the easy fix. Stop looking for something that will not challenge you, and go ahead and use what God has given you right now, because there's going to come a time you're not going to be able to do it. And that time is not very long. Test your limits. Don't be afraid to lead, young people. Don't be afraid to lead. Don't have to wait on somebody else to get you motivated to do something. Some of us we just like we'll be in a group of people, group of kids, and everybody hang around not doing nothing. And one person will say, "Look, man, let's go run to the store." And you say, "Man, I don't want to run to." Well, I'm going to run to. They start running, and guess what? We get up and start running right after. Why? Just because we following somebody? Don't be afraid to lead. What do you say? Those of you that's trying to get to heaven, don't be afraid to assert your influence as a young person. Stop allowing people to influence you. That's the easy path. That's the easiest thing to do, is to follow somebody. Be who you are. Be what God made you to be. When you sit down at the lunch table, don't be afraid to pray for your food because your friends are sitting across the table. God wants us to be thankful for everything we eat. You don't have to preach. You don't have to sing. Just pray for your food and see how God blesses you. Yeah. A lot of times young people, I know I've been there. And I know it's the influence. Is everybody ever here? You don't know what it is. Take the road less travel. The road less travel, you don't see as many people on. I tell you what, it pays off in the end. It takes some dedication. Whether you're playing in the band, whether if you decide you're going to play a musical instrument, you need to get, if that's what you want to do and you need to get started right now. Training for it right now, whatever age, you 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, the earlier you start, the more you will master your skill.
Amen.
Yeah. So much. I have so much. You know, my heart goes out to our young people because they live in a dangerous world. Lord have mercy. Can I say this? Can I drop this in also to the young people? Is while I'm here, take care of your body while you're young. Yeah, take care of your body while you're young. There are a lot of older folks in here right now who paying the price right now for not taking care of our bodies. Yeah, take care of your body. And I know some of you that play sports, some of these sports, that's why I have some pains I have right now, because I played sports, my knees and my hip, I had those pains, but I'm glad I played, I enjoyed it, and that's the price I had to pay, but some things we inflict on ourselves are unnecessary, mm-hmm. on our bodies. Our bodies are dying. We're not going to live forever. But I can say this, and I'm saying it in love. I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip. But notice the text. Paul said, be careful. Something don't have to necessarily be a sin to get you in trouble. And he says, be careful. And then he says, not as unwise, but as wise. Some things are just wise. Amen? See, if you young, why are you young right now? If you haven't ever smoked, don't smoke. Amen? You don't need to say that twice because I'll smoke. See, even grown people in here that smoke right now, and we know there's somebody in here that smoke. That's all, that's fine. But even grown people that smoke right now wish they hadn't smoked. Or don't want to smoke or trying to stop smoking because, you know, when you smoke, it just does stuff to your body. On the cigarette package, you say, okay, this is going to kill you now. Give me one of your cigarette packages. I'm just saying, that's just the truth. Can I just speak the truth to our young people? Imagine this. Now, you're going to start doing something that's going to, that's going to kill you, and they cost a lot of money. You're going to be broke if you don't have a real good job. So young people, if somebody offer you something, hey, come on, let's smoke. Say, I don't need that. And mean it. Just now, I said cigarettes, don't smoke. Oh, bro, Gary, they legalizing a weed in Colorado. For Medicaid, you don't have no medical condition. Now, listen. Now, listen. We talking about being wise. I know you can sit around somebody right now in a conversation right now. I can give you 10 reasons why so weed is all right. And he don't have a job and had one. I don't want to get off. I'm gonna leave you. The last three, the three and four, three and four, three. common mistakes you make. Three is rebelling against your parents. See, and because, you know, you, especially as you get to be a teenager, you're seeking independence. And, you know, while your parents are real smart when you're young and everything, mom and daddy, ooh, mama, you love daddy and your daddy can do no wrong. When you get to be a teenager, it seems like your parents don't know nothing. And now they're crazy. Now they're hard. They're strict. And, you know, they just don't want you to have no fun. And they don't understand. They're just old folky. I wish I was grown. I don't have time to go into it, though. Number four is, common mistake, is craving companionship from the wrong people. Common mistake. This is nothing new, young folks. It's been happening for the ages, and so it's not anything new. You know, many of us made the same mistakes. We did, but, you know, we're just trying to, you know, I know you hear that we're trying to save you some pain. Boy, if you can just do this one. But let me leave you with this last one. Is one of the things we need to do as youth is to master Jesus. What are you saying? See everything, you're gonna be bombarded with everything in life. As a young person, you, some of you haven't been old enough now to be influenced by other philosophies, other doctrines, other religions, folk coming at you with all this different stuff. And not only that, for your careers, some of you that's sharp, people are going to recruit. You're going to be recruited. People are going to act like you're the greatest thing in the world. And they're going to take, we want you to come here. If you're good in sports, we want you to come here. If you're good in your brain, we want you to come to our school. We want to make you great. And you make a mistake and they'll write you off like you. They will build you up. Your names will be in headlines. You do something wrong and you'll be wrote off. But what are you saying, Brother Gary? See, Master Jesus. Give you some research. Research everything you can about Jesus. The most influential person who has ever lived. Whether people believe in him or not, he's worth your time to know whether or not you're going to accept him or you're going to reject him. Read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's in your Bible. Read other writings that's not even included in the Bible that talk about Jesus. Because if you believe, read the last passage I gave you, Brother Arthur, in Philippians chapter 2.
For this reason also,
the Bible says. What the reason is because according to the scriptures, Jesus came to this world. He left heaven.
God highly exalted him.
He came, he lived, he died. He lived on the earth as a regular man. He performed miracles that people saw. And they crucified him on the cross and he died for our sins. But he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures for everybody's sins to redeem man back to God. And for this reason, God, the scripture says, he has exalted him. Read on, Brother Arthur.
And bestowed on him the name which is above every name.
He has bestowed on Jesus the name which is above every name. Everybody say, every name.
Every name.
He has bestowed on Jesus more importance than anything else you can do in your life. Any other hero you might have, name them, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Martin Luther King, Elvis Presley, all of them. People that people worship, Beyonce. I heard she coming to town or she been to town. Or. Some of us, we know more about Beyonce than we know about Jesus. And he's given him a name which is above every name. Read on, Brother Arthur.
So that the name of Jesus. Every knee will bow.
Every knee. This is beautiful because, you know, when we're on earth, when we're young, you know, we're under our parents. We have to do some of the things that they say. But after a while, you grow, you start making your own decisions. You decide your own career. your own choices. Who you going to marry? Where you going to sleep? Where you going to go to school? It's your choice. But there's going to come a time when we're not going to have a choice. You can choose him now. But one day, every tongue shall confess. Read, Brother Arthur.
Of those who are in heaven.
Of those who are in heaven.
On earth.
On earth.
And under the earth.
And under the earth.
And read. That every tongue will confess.
Every tongue will confess.
That Jesus Christ is
Jesus
Lord.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
To the glory of God the Father.
Yeah. And so that's why I say, even as a young person, master who Jesus is. And it's going to help you make better, wiser decisions in your life that will bless you for the rest of your lives. But again, to our young people, we say, be careful. Ooh, be careful, because there's some evil in this world. Oh, the mercy, there's some evil in this world. See, you know what? I wish we as parents, we wish we could go to school with you. We do. Maybe not all the time. But you wish you go. Why you say that, Brother Gary? Because we know that there's some grown folk at school that will misuse you. Why? Because there's evil in the world. You see everything. You know, I just know last year I kept looking at the news and you see that teacher has baby from student. I'm like, hold up now. And it used to be that men would prey on the girls. Now you got grown women praying on our boys. A sister told me after the first service, when I mentioned this at the first service, she came to me. She said, Brother Gary, you right, I almost lost it. She said, this week, she was at school and she had some sons, and her sons are, you know, play sports, and she was at and she walked. The lady walked behind her son, say, ooh, I wish I was in school when he was in school. And she said, you talking about my son? And I know some, and see, when you're young, sometimes we so gullible, and we think because it's cute. And we say, Brother Gary, what's wrong with that? Because you don't have no sense. You don't even know what's going on. An older teacher, 40 years old, you 15, 16 year old, he paying attention, you texting, you say, oh, you look cute, and I like the way your hair is today. You're doing so well in school, and you start crying to him, and don't let him send you a dollar. And you don't even know what's going on. That's why Paul, he said, be careful. Be careful. That's what we say to our young people. Be careful. Be susceptible to training. Be susceptible to listening to wise counsel. Listen to people who have when you go to buy a house, some of you don't know anything about. You think you just, you live in your house, and it's our house where we live. Some of our teenagers might not, but some of our young kids, they don't know that you pay a mortgage, and it's almost your whole check, and they don't understand that. But see, but when you go to buy a house now, young people, when you go buy a house, you get what's called a mortgage, unless you got big bank, big cash, and you pay cash for it. That's all right too. But you go buy a house, you fill out an application. And on that application, you put your name, your Social Security number, and they check your Social Security number for credit, which some of you don't know nothing. See, you see how much you got to learn? See why you need to be quiet and be still and listen to folk? Because you don't know none of that. But I ain't never heard of it because you're young. You know, that's good. You don't need to know right now. But I tell you what, I need to teach my grandkids a little bit better how to save money and. Yeah, we need to teach that. We need to train them on that when they're young. But you fill out an application and you put that on there. You put your Social Security number on there, and they do a background check on you. See, this is when you get older. That's why when you're young and they do a back. What do you mean a background check? They check on your history, decisions that you've made. See, when you're in college now, I don't know if they still do this or not. In college now, they have people that are trying to give you credit cards to these college students. Why they in college don't have job one. And I remember when I was in college, they gave me a credit card to Sears. I don't even shop in Sears. Didn't shop. But I tell you, when I got that Sears credit card, I said, I need to find me a Sears. I went and bought some at Sears. I don't even can't remember what it was I bought. But I forgot I bought it. And they sent bills. I'm in college. All I had in college was a little mailbox. It was so far away, I rarely went to the mailbox. They sent the bill to the mailbox. I forgot I bought it. I forgot I didn't check the mail. I didn't pay my bill. And then I thought about it. Well, I said, now, wait a minute. I think I bought something. I'm supposed to pay that, right? I forgot to pay it. It messed my credit up. And when I got out of school, and me and Sister KB wanted to get married, and we was getting married, and we didn't have nothing much at all, but I knew we needed another car, and I went to get a car, and they checked my credit, and they said, you have some delinquent bills. I looked at the man. What did they? Did you have a Sears? Oh. What are you saying, Brother Gary? There's so much in life you need to be careful about. Slow it down. But make the most of your time. Learn. Ask questions. Absorb. But more than that, if you get all of that wrong, Master Jesus. Because he's the stabilizer. He will help you. He will help you be able to say no. And I don't do that. And it's not time yet. Slow you down. He will help you to not get in that car when somebody is going to do some devilment you know is against your morals. Innocent Christian boys and girls get caught up. All I was doing was riding with my friends, wrong friends. Be careful. Be careful. We love you. We love you. That's, Brother, why you? We love you. But you know what? God loves you more. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But we trying to see, some of us as adults in here right now, we made so many poor decisions that we paying for it right now. Oh yeah, God is good. God is merciful. You say, well, Gary, I'm gonna do like you. Yeah, I'm gonna take my chances. God gonna be, don't you. I haven't told you all the stories about all those that's not sitting in here this morning. That's in the graveyard. That's in jail. If we're not in jail, we got criminal records. We got habits that we've gotten that we struggling with the rest of our lives. And you young. You don't have that right now. And you don't need it right now. God is good. Yes, he is. You here today? And you're not a child of God? Choose God while you're young. He'll sustain you. Well, Gary, I can't be perfect. You still need God on your side. Yeah, you need God for forgiveness. See, we have some of our young people and older people in the psych wards, some for different reasons. Well, we need help. But see, those of us as Christians, we can go to God and ask for forgiveness and know God forgives us. You need to come to Jesus by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of all of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, if you're willing to confess the sweetest name that you could ever confess while you're on this earth, and that's Jesus' name, if you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all your sins, God adds you to this family, to the family of God, to the house of God, and you live faithful unto death. You're in this battle, you're in this struggle that all of us are in life, And we need him every step of the way. And God will forgive you. God will bless your life. And you will never, ever regret choosing God and his son, Jesus Christ. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his gracious heart? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood.
You know, we some stuff is hard to fix. It's hard to fix. And I thank God for the family of God. For God accepts all of us. And if you're here today, you haven't dedicated your life to God, you need to. You need to. Why your mind is sound. Ooh, don't let me start. I'm telling you, because when your mind is gone, if you believe with all your heart Jesus Christ is Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, God adds you to the church. You be faithful unto death, he'll give us a crown. That's the promise. We believe that with all of our hearts. Yes. You're here today, you need to get something right in your life. You're here today, you want to confess something and have us to pray for you. Won't you come as we stand?
Just as I am without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. To thee whose blood